Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, this is 007. Claude Rudolph is talking to the podcast. And you know me, I'm the villain in the James Bond movie. And I said to Pierce Brosnan, who is playing at this time the Bond, "Hey, Mr. Bond, by the way, don't try it with this girl. You won't laugh it. She is called Christmas, but there is no Christmas present for you. Bye. Thank you." This is Claude.
Absolutely brilliant.
Really, 007.
Well, good afternoon to everybody. This is the Really 007 podcast, and we're here with Mr. Claude Oliver Rudolph, who, of course, was Colonel Akakievich, if I've got that right, the pronunciation, in The World Is Not Enough. And that is one of our favourite Bond films. It's one of John's most talked about films that he's trying to big up to be regarded as one of the greats. So we're really going to big that up today as well. So, yes, thank you for joining us. And if you're new to Really 007, you can catch all our interviews on our YouTube channel, including many actors and people involved from behind the camera of the Bond films. And you can also listen to our episodes on iTunes and Spotify. So do please subscribe, leave a lovely review, if that's possible. And social media, we're on all forms, such as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Just look up Really 007 Pod, and you can get joining in on the debates. So with me today, as I've already mentioned, I have regular contributor and massive Pierce Brosnan, The World Is Not Enough fan, it's John Kell. So good afternoon to you, John.
Good afternoon. It's so great to be here. So excited to talk to you, Claude, today.
It is. It's an absolute pleasure. And now Claude has been acting for over 40 years, which is no mean feat. And he's played a huge variety of
I must...
Go on.
50 years.
50 years.
In November, I got my anniversary, 50 years on stage and in service.
Wow.
I started as a young boy.
Well, yeah, I was going to ask you, how did it all start then? Must have been very young then.
It's like in a bad movie or in a good movie. I was in Bochum. This is not a capital of media. It's not Zurich. It's not London. It's not Frankfurt or Hamburg. It's a working class town like Leeds or Liverpool. And we have a lot of steel and coal. And then came Opel, like Vauxhall in England. And it is a town, working class hero town. But we had in the early 70s a very famous director from England, Peter Sardek. He was even today in the Wikipedia assumed as the greatest director after the Second World War in theater. And I was lucky. I was crossing around the alley in front of the theater, and a very famous film director called Werner Schroeter saw me and asked me if I have the pleasure or the idea to play in the theater. I said, yeah, why not? How much money? And he said, 12 marks an evening. And 12 marks were a lot of money because in these days I got 35 marks a month from my parents. So that means three times on a theater, I got more than my monthly wage from my parents. So I decided to start my theater career. And then Peter Zadek was really the greatest guy, and he had connections all over Europe, and English directors, American directors, Lee Strasberg were coming to Bochum, you must imagine that, and very famous actors. And the great Fassbinder is also very known in Great Britain, was there directing pieces and brought his whole company and family to Bochum. And so I was very lucky, by God's help, to get in the province such a big star. And then by the time other great impresarios or producers heard of my little name, I was tiny, famous. And then they called me to Munich, to Rainer Werner Fassbinder's theater. It's called Anti Theater. And I asked, when should I come? It was Thursday. And they said to me, yeah, come on Saturday. And I was Friday already in Munich. And I had 300 marks, a stolen cashmere coat, and a Ray-Ban, and my shepherd dog. This was all I had in Munich. And then we made a fine premiere of a Gene Genie piece. Big scandal in Munich because I was smoking such a big joint on stage, not a real joint of 30 centimeters. That means, I don't know, in inches, I don't know, half a meter. And in Munich was very conservative this time. And it was a big scandal. And all the newspapers from left to right were writing about the big scandal, Claude Rudolph starring in the Fassbinder. So from this day on, this is not, it's not a fairy tale. It's real truth. From this time, the producers of all the world were coming into this little Fassbinder theater. And really, I could choose my roles. And it was like the Sex Pistols career in England was my career as a punk actor in Germany. And it's so crazy to imagine. I always, after the performance, the assistant director came to me and said, Claude, there's another producer from England or from Sweden, or I don't know. I said, yeah, let him say, I take a shower. And then I came drinking a tea with him in the cafe. So I had all big mouth, and I was always, yeah, Mr. Big.
Quite a character.
I don't have to act. Like Strasberg said, don't act, please, just be. And then in these years, I'm telling about 1979, I did my first movie with Werner Schroeder, and it was, at the moment, from start off, the winner of the Golden Bear Berlin. You must imagine, my first movie, first winning Golden Bear in Berlin. And then I was playing on theater with Fassbinder, and then came The Boat, the famous The Boat, you know?
Yeah.
Germany's biggest film ever. Wherever you are, in Trondheim, in Norwegia, or in South Africa, everybody knows The Boat. Everybody. So I got an invitation from the director Petersen, who passed away last week, R.E.P. I should go to the Bavaria Studios at 11 in the morning, and I had no clock at this time. And I asked Fassbinder, could I sleep in the surrounding of the theater? Yeah, no problem, because it was nearer to the Bavaria studio. So the other day, I was awake and looked at the watch in the cafe. Oh, 20 to 11. Fuck. So no toothbrushing, no hair combing. I jumped into my car, passed every red light in Munich to get to the studios. And then I rushed on the second floor. There was a casting show. And every actor I knew from television or from cinema were already waiting there. And in these days, you could smoke. And everybody was smoking. It was a blue fog. of smoke. And I don't like to sit in the near of actors because they are nervous and they're talking. And so I sat a little away around the corner, and I had a big clock like in the train station in front of my eyes. And I said, okay, I've got a bit of time. And then I fall asleep and I wake up. 2 o'clock, nobody there. Only the blue smoke of the cigarettes were there. And I said to myself, oh God, why had I such an idiot to make a party yesterday, to be tired today? The big chance of my life. And I knocked at the first door. It was a big, big, long floor. And I knocked the first door, nobody there. I knocked the second door, nobody there. I said, oh, gosh, my God, I'm so stupid. And then I heard some moaning and growling behind another door. And I was knocking there. Come in! And then there was sitting a director in the big, long, long hall. And around his head were big blue smoke of Marlboro cigarettes. And this was Wolfgang Petersen. And he said to me, without regarding the casting officer, he regarded me and he said, this is the way I imagined Ariel before. Come on. And then he took 10 stories and gave the stories to me. This was my casting in the boat. And wow. After this, the story is told in every country. From this on, I was not on a ghost train, but roller coaster.
Yeah.
From this day on, when the film started worldwide, I hadn't to do nothing no more. I didn't need no agency or manager or whatever. It runs and runs and runs till today, 50 years. And I've got thanks God. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's so wow. Famous. We, even in England, we refer to it as Das Boot. It hasn't even been translated. We don't even need to translate it. Certainly, you mentioned Wolfgang Petersen, and it's really sad, obviously, that he died recently. But what was he like? What was he like as a director and as a gentleman?
He was a pro. He knew what he was doing the first thing, and he always said, handcraft before art. Then we were shooting a normal check, and then he said, now we're doing an extra check for Hollywood. And then we did. So everybody of the team knew how hard it will be, but that we later on got the chance of 6 Oscar nominations, nobody thought about it.
Wo kommt unser Freund Bibelforscher nochmal her, Schwalle? Aus Götzenbrata. Muss ja eine prima Gegend sein, wa, Schwalle? Wo sie die Nachgeburten groß sind und die Babys im Mülleimer hauen. Na, Freund? Was schreibt er denn so, der Herr Sebaot?
Halt deine dämliche Schnauze!
Schnauze! Schnauze! Schnauze!
Hey,
lass mich in Ruhe!
Er macht mich noch total Panne mit seinem religiösen Scheißdreck! Wenn es nach dem ginge, dann...
Did you realize it was going to be such a massive film? Because obviously not many German films go on to be huge in America. So
I only know our film. I made some American movies that even worse. But nobody, no even a native American director had such a success line as Petersen. Petersen had 7 huge box office records in a line.
Yeah, it got bigger.
This is German quality, like Mercedes-Benz or Porsche.
Yeah,
it's I tell you a story. When I was always driving English sports cars, Aston Martin, Jack, and then I was coming to London, and my driver fetched me up at Stansted, and I was very disappointed. He was catching me up with a white Mercedes. He said, hey, why not a Jag? And this time I was driving a JK 12 cylinders. And he said, maybe the best car in the world. But also he was very proud that I'm privately at home, I'm driving a Jag.
Okay, oh, well, British.
Classy.
Since then, I mean, goodness me, going into that as well and the whole Hollywood thing. And you've mentioned Wolfgang Petersen, there's Jürgen Prochnow and other people.
Yeah, and our cameraman did also blockbusters like RoboCop and things like that. And another friend of mine, who was at Fassbinder's, he's even the most popular cameraman in America, Mickey Ballhaus. He had about 20 great Hollywood guys, Vish Corsese and everybody. Michael Ballhaus.
Wow, pretty impressive, isn't it?
And two of the Fassbinder team were the villain in James Bond. Before me, it was Gottfried John.
Yes, there was a Germans, wasn't there? There was Gottfried John in GoldenEye. Then there was Götz Otto.
He's an extra. He's not an actor.
Well, we've spoken.
No, really. He's not in the same class. He's not playing in the first division. You must imagine. Now, there's only one line. This is the old Gerd Froebel from Goldfinger, and then this is Kurt Jürgens, but Kurt Jürgens, Austrian. Yeah. Nobody knows it. It's not a German. It's an Austrian. Then Gottfried John, and then Claude.
I was looking as well. There's of course Walter Gotell, who played Gogol in I think 5 Bond films, and he moved to Britain early, but he was born in Germany. And then there's Christoph Waltz, is he half Austrian? Mm-hmm.
He's an Austrian. Not a German.
A lot of Germans get cast as Nazis, don't they? And Götz Otto was telling us he's had to play loads of Nazis. But I know you've written a book about the Holocaust. Well, that's absolutely amazing. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah. I was in love with the daughter of a very famous German Jewish producer, maybe the greatest, who invented about, I think, 200 movies or something like that. And I was in love with the girl, and the daddy said, okay, there's no problem to get a marriage, but 3 steps come over. I said, okay, tell me. The one is you must change to Jewish religion. Is that no problem? The second is you must divorce from your wife. I said, okay, I do it. And the third thing is you must come to the Christian Democrats. It's like the Tories in your country. And I said, oh, no, I can't do it. So the love separated doesn't exist anymore, but I promised I write this novel, and I wrote this novel. And in this novel, this is the absolute outstanding in comparison to every other's history we know from the school and from documentaries, etc., from the BBC and so on and so on. So this book is not about the poor Jews who are going into the oven and into the gas. No, they are heroes and revolutionary. And in the end, they really got the last, historical. They got the last ship from Portugal, which was neutral in these days. The last ship to New York City. And finally, they reach Statue of Liberty. And one of the boys says to the other, do you smell the smell of freedom? And the other said, no, it smells too fish. It smells fishy.
I mean, I couldn't believe it, obviously, looking into all you've done. You write and direct film Dirty Sky as well. Yeah. And what's it like to direct then? How do you come into that as an actor?
I was starting as a director, but I lost my money.
Oh, right.
and then Werner Schröter said to me, oh, no problem. The debts we will kill away. And then he made me to an actor. But actually, I started as a director. And then during the directing, my first days, when I was a teen, not a twin, I told you before, it was like in the punk days. I ran out of money, and so we couldn't get the sound to the film. I couldn't afford the studio or whatever. So I was in these days already on festivals throughout Northern Australia. So I made art of this poor situation, and I said to the producers of the festivals, I said, okay, this is new art. Let me call it post-punk Dadaism. And we do a live performance, like in a theater, like in an opera, with all my actors and all the ingredients and all the techniques, live in the performance. And they said, Yeah, that's a great idea. And I got the first prize.
You practically invented that, didn't you?
Yeah, it's crazy. But I lost a lot of money in these days.
Oh, right, okay.
5,000 marks for a 15-year-old boy. And I had for a certain time, I had to stop my directing career and had to begin my acting career. Right. But always, when I had a bit of money, I said, no, I can't be an actor. And to be told, go from left to right, blah, blah, I'm not a puppet in a string. I hate it. So I had to do a directing again. And so in the meantime, I think I made 20 movies roundabout, and produced a lot of movies of young artists. Crazy. That must be crazy. This is my important criteria. I don't like mainstream, and it's not of my interest. Crazy people, crazy movies, even crazy theater. For instance, I was the first director to direct Clockwork Orange as a theater piece in Germany. You know, famous movies, one of my favorite movies.
So good. Yeah.
And in these days, Malcolm McDowell was my favorite actor. Absolutely. Yeah. Also on theater stage, on musical stage and opera stage, I make always crazy things. I'm fixed to crazy things. You must imagine my favorite artist since now 50 years are the Sex Pistols and Clash, and from America Iggy Pop. There's nothing changed. And when I was a young actor at Fassbinder, I wrote, I'm not tattooed at all, I wrote with a big edding on my left breast Iggy Pop, on my wrist Sex Pistols.
Less permanent than a tattoo.
And even 50 years later on, nobody was talking in 2015 about punk anymore. But I was in these days the chef of the feuilleton of the Russian television, and I called my talk show Clash.
Is that why it's called that? Right, okay.
Yeah.
For Russia Today.
Wow.
Yeah. You've done presenting as well. Incredible.
Unbelievable. I've just seen, like, you know, Motorhead, Metallica, Scorpions, Rammstein. Yeah. Unbelievable collaborations.
Yeah, music is my first love. Yeah, I always wrote the soundtrack to my record, to my films, and all the verses and all the lines are always homemade by Claude. And I wrote songs for punk bands and for Herbert Grönemeyer. He's very famous in Germany. I don't know in England, but in Germany, he's one of the top singers. And we were classmates. We know each other since we were 10. He was the press lieutenant in the boat. This is Herbert. Huh? And since then, we are together. And so music was very important in my life. And therefore, it wasn't a big step towards the musical stage and the opera stage. I did Mozart, I did Beethoven, and I did Judy Garland. I met the German first performance of the musical Judy Garland from the Broadway. I did it two times in Theater Bonn and in the Schloss Theater. So I'm very keen to music, and therefore it was not a big step to do now, because now we're having the 40th anniversary of the boat. I knew you 96 from the soundtrack of the boat. They were the famous composers of the worldwide techno hit The Boat, and we know since 30 years. And we did some things before. After the death of Klaus Kinski, we did a double album about Klaus Kinski. And then we had the soundtrack of Jack Mazreen, Trip of Death. And then they called me in February last year, if I could imagine to do with them 20,000 Leagues Beneath the Sea. I said, yeah, sure. That makes sense for me, because you are called U96. I was really going on board, which was called an U96. I was at the board aerial. You were doing something. That makes sense. Do now Captain Nemo and the Nautilus, which is the first U-boat in the world. this absolute passion for me and a passion for you, and we do it together. And so it functioned. That was the idea. And the idea became bigger and bigger. Then the planetarium, I don't know the word in English, planetarium. We are looking at the stars
called planetarium. Yeah, that's the way.
They called us, if we could imagine to do a version 3D, full dome. I said, yeah, why not? Then we made it and show it to you. You can go out, you can see them also if you go into Planetarium Hamburg. But this is another version. This is only a 3D full dome version. We did for the planetarium, looking for going through Europe with this version. Maybe even we come into London and Paris and so.
Oh, wow.
The interest of the planetarium's doer, how's it called? Men who leads the planetarium, how's it called? Director of planetarium? I don't know.
Yeah.
Very big.
The 2000 Leagues of the Sea, is it? Yeah.
Oh, it looks so good.
That's a musical you're doing based on the Jules Verne.
Now, this is this. This is the musical.
Right.
This is the planetarium show.
So good.
So it's like an interactive experience. Yeah, fantastic, unbelievable.
Oh. And the name, we bought it or stolen it from Jimi Hendrix experience, the Jules Verne experience. When we were three, also like Hendrix was three guys, and we were all three guys, the two from Youth 96 and Claude, and we are called the Jules Verne experience.
Unbelievable.
Brilliant.
Atlantis. Juwel einer Insel versunkener Schönheit. Irgendwo im großen Ozean. Nur irre Seeleute berichten davon. Verrückt geworden durch salzigen Monsun. Alte Legenden ranken sich darum. Antediluvien in vorsintflutlichem Äon. Irgendwo in der Meerenge von Ceylon oder an Ägyptens Küste. Wir alle wissen nicht wo. Aber wir haben einen Traum. In einer Dimension abseits von Zeit und Raum. Tief, tief unter dem Meer.
I've seen you. You're on tour soon, aren't you, for that? But love to see it. Yeah, incredible.
Yeah, we learned in the days of the 70s, you can make a very loud sound with three guys. Taste with three, Jimi Hendrix with three, Motorhead with three. You can be very loud with three guys.
Oh, you can.
How does that work when you've got? So you've got the band, and then you've got you. How does that work with the audience? What do they see?
Should I be honest?
Yeah. Yes, please be honest.
Nobody wants to hear techno anymore. Nobody wants to see the old boys from U96. There's a rumor in the public just before my first appearance on stage. And then they really flash when I'm coming. You must imagine. It's like, I said for Pierre, I said, this is a mixture from Hollywood and Wagner. And so it is.
Yeah, sounds unbelievable.
It sounds incredible.
Just for your listeners, we have now two examples of the following album. The album is coming in, I don't know, September or something like that. But we made two single versions. And the one is Irvin. We had a deal with Donovan, with the old Atlantis song. Lasted 3 months till we got all the rights and overrides, and he must control my German text and so on. But in the end, we finished and we got the rights to do the new Atlantis version. We put it on directly. You can listen to it on YouTube. And the other is coming. It's absolutely new. What was coming on Monday, we did Me Nemo. These are two releases. The two pre-releases before the album starts. So everybody in the world can listen free to.
Oh, wow.
Are you Captain Nemo then?
Sure.
Of course you are.
And I said as a joke in the newspapers, I said, so my whole life, for 40 years, I'm in the Navy. I started in the diesel area in the U-boat, and 40 years later, I'm a commander.
Yes.
Yeah. Amazing.
That's incredible. Now, I was going to ask you, as a German actor, do you sort of have to accept that you're going to play lots of different roles with different languages? So do you have to speak lots of different languages as a German actor?
Normally, no, because a German actor does not make international movies. But for me, it's a little bit easier because I was belanged in my family. My family is half French, half German. And I was brought up with my grandma in France, in Reims. It's near of the Champagne. And on the other end, I was an exchange student in England. And I was shooting in Italy. I had a girlfriend in Italy also. It was more familiar to me to speak in other languages. But normally a German actor has very, very big problem because of his accent. And this, for a German tongue, is very different to roll in other speeches, and then they can speak an R, not even an R in Italiano. They can speak a TH in English. It's very problematic with German.
Well, you've done all right so far, haven't you? Dear me.
So well.
Also, as well, you've done some dubbing of famous films, haven't you, and various things like
that? No, only one.
Oh, right,
only
okay.
Only one. That is not my art, but the American, how's it called, makes a movie run into the cinemas.
The distributor?
Distributor, yeah. Okay. The American distributor wanted by Hart Claude Rudolph. He is the German Mickey Rourke. And I said, okay.
Yeah,
I like Mickey Rourke, no problem. And I made it good because of my God's talent. We were gaining the German dubbing prize. And then the film made it well at the German box office also.
That was The Wrestler, of course, which he was robbed of an Oscar, really, Mickey Rourke.
Very much so.
But I'd love to hear your version of it. Are you a similar kind of character to Mickey Rourke? Because he's a...
Yeah, he's cool. My version is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you do something with love, then you're very similar. Then it's okay. And he was a boxing, I was a boxer.
Yeah.
So there's very similar. There's a good idea from the American distributor. Yeah. It's not always shit is coming from Hollywood. No, it's even coming some shit from England. I was beginning of the year, I was discussing very often with Jonathan Glazer. I like Jonathan Glazer. He did one of my favorite movies, Sexy Beast.
Yes,
and I was very happy that he phoned me and we were talking about this new project, blah, 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 etc. But then we couldn't combine getting about the figure. It's a Nazi movie and he wanted me to play the Nazi not as a brutal, arrogant and dumb and deaf subject. And I said, no, Nazis are dumb, damp and brutal and ugly subjects. So we didn't come together.
Oh,
but I think the movie didn't finance, it wasn't financed. And so it's not very, I'm not very sad about it because a movie which not...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Comes to the cinema, doesn't exist and awful. I like Jonathan Glazer and even in my Michael Apted, who even passed away yesterday.
Michael Apted was
also doing a favorite movie of mine, the last movie of Lee Marvin's, Gorky Park.
Yeah.
And I think something in the stars or in the heaven rules it and controls it. Then I'm coming together with all these artists I like very much. I don't know if it's true, but I have the feeling that it is like this.
This is Guts Otto, a.k.a. Mr. Stemper from Tomorrow Never Dies. You're listening to Really 007. Have fun. I owe you an unpleasant death, Mr. Bond.
So, Claude, you mentioned Michael Apted, and obviously he directed The World Is Not Enough. I'd love to just to share a bit of your experience on set with him and found him as a director and the influence he had on your character and the film itself.
Yeah, Michael is a gentleman through and through, and we had a very famous director of photography, Adrian Brittle, I think he was two-time Oscar winning, who made The Alien or something like this. Very great. Yeah, and I even liked Barbara Broccoli very much. And I thought the company's name, Eon, was something to do with the old Greeks. Eon means a century of gold. And I said, no, it means everything or nothing. Because my dad and his kumpel, Harry B. Salzman, they loaned themselves $50,000 to buy the rights from Ian Fleming. And that was a fortune. Either it happens or neither not. And therefore, everything or nothing. Nothing to do with the Greeks and the Roman philosophy. Yeah, and then Michael asked me, there was no casting at all. I was invited to London to the Ian production, Kensington Park or whatever. And then there were Michael Wilson, the co-producer, then Barbara Broccoli, the cameraman, and Debbie McWilliams, who does since 30 years the Bond casting.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were watching me and I'm watching back. And we watched each other for 3 or 5 minutes. And then Michael asked me, Claude, you're an expert in martial arts. Could you explain me the difference between karate and Muay Thai, Thai boxing? He said, oh, come on, Michael, I do no harm. And I said, and karate is like this. We stop in front of the face of our opponent, and Thai boxing means we get it full. Okay, Claude, thank you. You see us in November. This was the casting.
He'd wanted to know that all his life. Brilliant.
Piers is a fine guy, but I hate, and he's really idiot, and he's a dwarf. He had this, I don't remember his name, and he was an idiot, who played the Renard.
Robert Carlyle.
He
was shy, and he was afraid of me because of my physis and so. And then one scene, I touched him, and then he go to the director, he touched me in the scene. I don't like it.
Well, there's one bit in it where he chucks like some papers into your chest, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Was he? He didn't mean it deliberately, did he? Did he do it hard deliberately to annoy you?
I wasn't allowed to touch him, but he touched me then. Yeah.
Wow.
I was going to ask because he killed you. He's the one who shoots you, I'm afraid, Claude.
Hey, drop the gun. Keep away, Colonel.
He's an imposter. Dr. Arkoff is 63 years old.
This is your imposter. Along with the man outside on the plane, they're stealing the bomb. I said drop it!
On your knees!
Dr. Peach, well done. He would have killed us all. Did you speak to him?
Yeah, but he's no atomic scientist.
I suppose you were the one who allowed him down. You had me. But I knew you couldn't shoulder the responsibility. Now, without any further interruptions, let's proceed.
Yet, there are too many new faces around here, including yours. The bomb doesn't move until I am satisfied. Hey, all of you, to the service, now! Goodbye, goodbye!
To be fair, a lot of people do say that, though. He is quite small as a main baddie.
Yeah.
because Elektra is taller than him.
The fighting sequence between Pierce and him is like in Walt Disney funny movie.
Well, again, people do complain like that he's bigged up as a big villain, but then when you see him, you think Pierce could have him, couldn't he? Pierce could beat him up easily. You never got a fight scene in it, unfortunately.
No. I was tell you a story. When I was a child, there was the first James Bond I've seen was Goldfinger or Dr. No, I think. And the film was beginning, it was coming, a duck is swimming, and on the beach, the duck is coming over.
Yeah, yeah.
Then there's a guy in a diver's suit, and he unchanged diver suit and had a white jacket and a tuxedo on. And this was Sean Connery.
Yeah.
The old boy. This is not the action movie. Then I said it often in interviews. The worst action scenes and fighting sequence in the world are done by Roger Moore. This is like a grandpa who has very problems with his back. And and then I watched the fighting sequences at my James Bond. You can't imagine the difference between reality and film. Film is a lie. And it's not like Godard said, film is reality, is truth 24 times a second. No, film is lie 24 times a second, because in movie it's like this: is Pierce Brosnan is saving this girl. This is the ex-wife of this American actor,
Mark
Sheen, of the Charlie Sheen, the ex-wife.
Oh right, oh, yeah.
He's Richard.
Denise Richards.
And he's saving her, and they're jumping into a hell 20 meters down. Yeah, and they were safe. So in reality, they were jumping over a table 80 centimeters.
Yeah.
So this is actually weird.
You've got to be an actor, though, haven't you? You've got to show that you've got to show it to the audience that it looks 80 meters.
Yeah. Last time I was in Berlin, I had in May, I had a show. There was a great coming together. And I must mention, I was key speaker as a villain. And they asked me before the show begins, what's your theme? I said, okay, I'll tell you something. From Bochum to boat and bond, nobody has waited for me. I said, oh, this is interesting. This is thrilling. So I told him the story of my life, even all the jokes I knew from the reality of film behind the scene. The people won't believe you if you're telling the truth. They won't believe it. So otherwise, you see what happens if it is not professional handled, like in the last movie of in America. Like of the actor who killed the camera girl and the production designer.
Alec Baldwin, yeah.
Yeah.
Baldwin, yeah, in the Baldwin movie. So you see, and then I remembered, the son of Bruce Lee was also killed.
Yeah.
On the other hand, America says always everything is assured. We got the best insurance companies. And if you eat soft ice, and you got stomach pain, you can make process $2 million and so on. But in the movies, they are shooting themselves with real guns. It's so crazy for me. Movie is crazy. And then you see English films, which are from the handcraft, the best films in the world. But if you see how they do it, you must act laugh. It's like in the kindergarten. Have you a word for kindergarten?
Yeah, we know.
Reception.
We use that word.
Yeah. Oh, kindergarten.
We do use the word kindergarten, yeah.
It's lacking, and always is done in the cutting room.
Yes, of course.
This is a phenomenon.
That's a real crap, yeah.
So obviously, Charlie Sheen's wife, Denise Richards, you're seen with her. Obviously, you have the line where it kind of infers that your character had tried it on previously with her and stuff.
I pulled the plutonium out of the one inside. You can detonate the triggers now.
Okay.
Look, our IDA physicist. Don't bother. Not interested in man. Take my word for it. This year we decommissioned 4 test sites. Not even a glimmer.
Are you here for a reason? Or are you just hoping for a glimmer? And you are?
Mikhail Arkov, Russian Atomic Energy Department. Miss...
Dr. Jones. Christmas Jones. And don't make any jokes, I've heard them all.
I don't know any doctor jokes.
What was she like to work with?
Yeah.
I didn't know her. And I asked her in the wardrobe, I said, tell me the last movies you did. I said, Wild Things. Ah, okay. Well, I've never seen
Wild Things, yeah.
And I haven't seen it. But she was pretty and okay. She, fine girl, pretty. But I do like Sophie Marceau.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful in every way.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. What an actress.
Yeah, she's great.
Did you get to meet her then? Because you're not in scenes with her.
No, I wasn't shooting with her. They were shooting in Switzerland. I wasn't in Switzerland.
Oh, right. That was the ski.
My Russia in Kazakhstan wasn't Kazakhstan. Do you know where it was?
Oh, go on.
It is in Spain, the Sierra Nevada.
Oh, right. Okay.
20 kilometers of Valencia.
Oh, lovely. Yeah.
And the rest we did only studio in London.
Well, I must say, your Russian accent was sensational in that film.
Yeah.
I was forced by myself to do it more, but Michael said, no, nobody will understand you.
Could you give us a quick rendition of it? We'd love to hear some of it.
Sure. Welcome to Kazakhstan, Dr. Arkov. It's not often people of Rostec come to here. Even, by the way, have you got the papers with you?
Brilliant.
Oh, my word. That is amazing, Claude.
Exactly the same. Did you learn any Russian or did you just learn it yourself? What happened? How did you do that?
No, it's only my ear. I hear it up from Russians and actor is a copyist. A good actor is a copyist.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? I can also do Klaus Kinski. You must believe me because I'm saying the truth and you can't look into my brain. And I've seen a good movie. Kinski was doing portrait in the States and they were going to a zone of no entrance where the wild animals are living. And then they were shooting something, blah, blah, blah. And suddenly a big policeman is coming or a guard from the park. And he said, and Kinski, he's very small. Kinski is about 1.69 meters or something like that. He said, they're doing a portrait about me. I'm a film star. Who, you? Yes, the second German television. Okay, but you don't do a commercial here. No, it's about me. Have a good day. I'm a film star. Who, you?
So what happened with like the publicity to be, because being in a Bond film is a completely different scale to a lot of the stuff you're happening. How did you find that?
It's really, even it's not Hollywood, it's a British production, but it seems for everybody a Hollywood production. This is from another world. All the print media, the important print media, were all coming to my shootings, and even the Spiegel is the most famous magazine in Germany.
Yeah,
two journalists who were forthcoming with me 2 weeks. It's a long time. Because you can't drink, you can't make a party. You must be always alert. But I said, look, I tell you something, the difference between a German and a Hollywood movie. Now we're going to my prowler. And my prowler is about 7 meters. They write it down. Oh, 7 meters. So now we're going to Pierce's prowler. Went to Pierce's prowler and said, this is 15 meters. This is Hollywood. When you have a break, you got 3 different meals to choice, like in a star restaurant, and even 4 veggies is something there. And so, and at 4 o'clock, there's coming something from the crew with croissants and coffee and tea. This is it. This is Hollywood. This is, and you got a 24 hours. I got a driver with Mercedes Benz in white. Yeah. To your own purpose, and this is Hollywood.
Wow.
And in Germany, James Bond is like, if you got by the Queen, the member of the sword, member of the Beatles, got this how's it called, the idolization, nobilization, or I don't know,
idolization,
nobility.
If you become in a knight,
knighthood,
So this is a James Bond movie for German actors.
Wow,
it's not getting higher. You can do a Stallone movie, you can do an Eastwood movie, but Bond is the highest class.
Do you still get a lot of like licity?
Every year I'm in the Bond in the Bond festivity in England or in America or in Australia. I was in Canada. I was in every country when the Bond conversion is once a year. Then we had gets 2 years pause of Corona, but normally I get there with big stars. Look at my my homepage. At the last Bond convention, I met some of the first moon flyers.
Oh, the moon landing.
And then a real big idol of mine, one of the greatest boxers of all times. Very crazy if you are there. This morning, 9 o'clock, the doors went open and thousands of fans were coming and make meet and greet, and they pay crazy sums for a photograph with you. But this is only in the English-speaking society. In Germany, it doesn't function like
that. How popular is James Bond in Germany?
Absolutely. I would say after the boat is James Bond.
Is it? Yeah, you've done okay then, haven't you?
Come on. Yeah. Were you a James Bond fan before you were cast in the film?
No. Mm-hmm. I told you before, the first I saw as a child is Sean Connery. Crazy for me. It's for me like Barbie and Ken. And then I was laughing about the fighting sequences of Roger Moore.
Fair enough.
Does that mean you, did you like Timothy Dalton and Daniel?
No, not at all. And
no.
Not at all. And he pierced the Eon Productions into the red chiffres. And they were almost bankrupt after this bad experience. And Pierce made them save again.
Yeah, Pierce was very popular.
His first performance, and then he was climbing the numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
Our James Bond was, at this time, the most popular Bond all times,
but he then was very popular
by the last, I think, by the last two, they were getting a bigger growth. You know?
Yeah, they were. Yeah. So is Pierce? What was he like, Pierce, to work with?
Absolutely fine. He's Irish. He's a buddy.
Yeah, he is.
A buddy.
Yeah.
And he can drink. Yeah. Yeah. He's cute and he's a fine guy and good looking. I was a bit used by him as a nanny to his son.
Oh.
Because his son was third or fourth AD. He had a problem, little problem with alcohol. And so Pierce said to me, Klaus, keep an eye on him. So yeah. And some evening we were drinking, and the other day he was not able to pass the scene. And I'm like an old pro, like one of my favorite action directors, Peckinpah. I was a pro. And in the morning, Pierce asked me, have you seen Christian? Oh, Pierce, I don't know. No. At 11:30, he came to the set with red eyes.
Oh, really? So were there some good evenings out with Pierce?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Is he a Guinness man?
No, he drinks hard things, not beer.
Oh, right. Okay, right. We
absolutely love the guy. Paddy is also Irish whiskey. Not only a nickname for Irish whiskey, Paddy.
Yeah, yeah. He's a proper Irishman.
and I wanted to impose, and I said, "Oh, my daughter's called Una. It's a very seldom name in Germany." He said, "Una. Oh, my auntie's called Una."
All right. Irish. Yeah.
Wow.
What do you think of him as an actor? Because some people criticize him.
Brilliant is Marlon Brando.
He's not that level.
Gary Oldman is brilliant.
Yeah.
Oliver Reed is my favorite actor.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Or in the new days, I like him very much. Ray Winston.
Oh yeah.
Oh right.
Oh
yeah.
I like him.
Ooh, classic hard man, yeah.
But Pierce is a pro.
Yeah,
And he even can do. I've seen comedian movies with him.
Yeah, yeah.
The Tailor from Panama, something like that. I don't know the English title. This is a pro through and through. He's not a great Shakespeare actor, I would say.
But he's a film star, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a film star.
He's difficult.
Yeah.
But he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And my son likes him very much. After an action sequence, he was driving a tank. And after he's driving through Prague and destroying half Prague,
he
corrects his...
Fantastic. Yeah, got me. Yeah, well, that's...
Brilliant.
Only he could get away with that. It's great.
That's Bond.
It is Bond.
It's so good. That's Bond. Yeah, it's so good.
Who have you seen?
Beneath. Did you know that I was doing, I'm the first German writer, reader, actor, call it what you want, to do John le Carré. John le Carré didn't want to make, Oscar audible books. Didn't like it. He said, no, the people should buy in a bookstore book and read them. So my company, my record company in these days, wrote him a very polite letter. Ah, dear Mr. Carré, we have a fine actor here, Ms. Claude Rudolph, and we sent you a voice casting. And even, now it comes, even he was in the last James Bond. And then Mr. Carré changed his mind and said, yeah, okay, Mr. Rudolph is allowed to do my novels in German. And even I was on tour, and he made me a present. He gave me 10 performances without paying him his guarantees.
Yeah.
He made me a present. 10 performances. He didn't want guarantees from me.
My word.
Good. I made three big novels on Audible. I made the Night Manager, a so-called hero, and the last thing about the Congo, Melody of Sounds or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know the title.
Yeah, you've done a few audiobooks. Is that quite an interesting
Hundreds,
right. Okay, yeah. Do you enjoy that? You must enjoy that.
Yeah. Because people say they like my voice. So yeah. I like the people that like me. No. When I was doing in France, a gangster series, they were coming also ABC and NBC from America because it was the same time as they're shooting Dallas. And they were coming to me and they say, ah, Claude, you are the one who loves to be hated.
One they hate to love.
That's it.
But yeah, so you said you're casting. How did it happen? I don't understand what... How did the Bond people, have they seen you in something and they like you?
Yeah. Don't believe that you were casted because of your talent or of your blue eyes. No. The Barbara seeks in the several countries who is the one, who is the hottest guy or the hottest girl in the acting family. How are the box offices? How is the television reaction? What is the press writing about him or her? And this is the trick. You were casted around the world, and you see it as Barbara does it. It functions.
Yeah,
she's writing black chiffres, and the company is very healthy.
Hi, this is Robert Dobby, and you're watching Really 007 Podcast. Purely business, nothing personal.
What did you think about the new Bond films? Have you seen the latest one?
No, I've said always, have you ever seen, what do you think about the new James Bond? Then James Bond is Pierce Brosnan. You mean the ex-boy of Heike Makatsch.
Right, okay. Yeah. Back to Michael Apted. Can you just tell us about him? And what's his like style as a director?
He's correct. Like, he's a gentleman also in directing. He's strict. In Germany, you have still today some guys who are always shouting at the set and offending you, and they are stubborn like a mule. And in England, for instance, Michael is very polite. And Claude, how is your Russian today? Give me some.
That's my impression as well. Yeah.
Oh, brilliant! Thank you so much. So good.
In terms of the film, though, how many times have you seen The World Is It Enough? Have you seen it back?
It comes in Germany every week.
Yeah, yeah. It was on in
England. Wow.
It's now it's coming. I don't know. It's a Bond week or something. 60 years of Bond is now, I think.
Yeah.
62, yeah. In every program, you have Bonds.
Right.
We have not only at Easter or at Christmas. The whole year, we have a Bond season and the boat season.
Oh, right.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And now, Peterson passed away. You can't go away from the boat. In every television chain is the boat coming.
Yeah.
The TV version or the long version, director's version, originally version.
I saw that. There's so many. There's one which is like nearly 4 hours, isn't there?
Yeah. 6 hours. Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, because they did it as a TV series, didn't they, as well, which you were involved
yeah.
with.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible.
Mm.
And that's an amazing legacy that you've got for for, you know, an actor.
And just to be like, I mean, obviously the boat, but for me, I think The World Is Not Enough is a very special Bond film. It's very different to a lot of them. Main reason being Sophie Marceau, like being a female villain.
Yeah.
And
killing a woman.
Yeah,
Oh. Precisely, yeah. And as well that the fact that she starts as Bond's lover, and then the twist on top of that is very different. And it's just so good over like social media over the last week to see so much praise for it. And you're a big part of that. You know, we just thank you for that, because it's so amazing to be able to hear your stories about The World Isn't Enough. And even more importantly, hearing your amazing life. I mean, absolutely fascinating. You know, it's just so good. Thank you.
And last story, I got a fan letter from somewhere 800 kilometers southern of New Delhi from India. And he wrote me, "Now you are a part of the history of the silver screen, never forgotten in the life."
Yeah, that's it though. It's worldwide, isn't it?
It absolutely is. Yeah,
absolutely fantastic. Right. Well, thank you very much, Claude. We've really
thank
loved
you. Thank you. And remember always, Ollie Reed, one of the greatest.
Oh, he is. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
What a guy. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Claude.
Yeah, all the best with the tour as well.
Thank you, Claude.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
See you later.
Ciao. Prepare later.
Catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.